Blog Talk Radio.
Founding board members with us, Left and Us, and we're going to be joined by our Brother Thurman out of Richmond, and we're possibly going to drag in Brother Kimbizi out of Atlanta as well. Brother Thurman, if you're on the line, press 1 on your keypad and let me know that's you. I see one Richmond Exchange here, and I want to open up the... Okay, there we go. There we go. So you'll be coming in shortly. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, I can. How you doing?
Doing well. Glad to have
good.
You joining me. Good. Again, this is our regular Thursday evening, 9 o'clock Central, radio broadcast and conference call. We do this every Thursday evening, and more than anything else, I really want to welcome everyone who is calling in and listening from around the world. And if this is your first time to have called into our show, of course, we're fondly referred to most of the time as ULU, which is an acronym for Us Lifting Us. And the name of the enterprise is Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC. We're a business formation, but certainly our reason for existence is beyond business. It's about securing the welfare of our people locally and globally. So I'll just turn it over to Thurman to also welcome brothers and sisters from around the world.
Thank you so much, brother. And I'd like to just add my part in saying welcome to the Ulu family heard around the world, the members locally in the U.S. as well as in many other countries, including Africa and the Caribbean and some European countries and South America. And the list of members is growing, and we invite all of the new callers or those that are taking a good look at Us Lifting Us to listen, take notes, and call in and ask questions, because we do need each other, and it's necessary that we participate in our liberation. And Us Lifting Us does have the winning plan for us to take economic control of our communities. And you can, if you already, if you're on the telephone, if you don't have the telephone number to call, to dial in, to ask a question or comment, the telephone number is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And also, you can go to our website. That's www.usliftingus.com. www.usliftingus.com. And if it opens up to where you see the globe of the planet and with some headphones on, you just click on Listen Live. And if not, if you're on the home page, you look to the right in the yellow bar, and it says Ulu Radio. And you click on that, and that would bring you to where you can click the button that says Listen Live. And please, at another time, take a thorough look at the Us Lifting Us web page if you have not done so. And there's also a online presentation that you can go through. And you can also sign up to get email notices from Us Lifting Us about our calls as well as our other events. And please take notes, participate in this call, and ask questions, and give some serious consideration to being a part of Us Lifting Us. And Us Lifting Us, the mission is to build and maintain and pass to future generations the machinery of true economic empowerment for our people.
Yes.
And Baba Hakima, go ahead.
Yeah. Just to get a little housekeeping done, and of course, Brother Thurman is pretty much giving you the instructions if you want to call in. Let's deal with the purpose of this call. On our website, as Brother Thurman has pointed out, on our homepage, there are three videos. The top video, and we're encouraging everyone who has not done so already, as soon as you're able to play this video, it's only 17 minutes, but it gives a good overview of our master plan, our empowerment plan. And this call is primarily for those brothers and sisters who have gone to the website, they've played that video, they've looked around and maybe read other things. They may have visited our Facebook page, they may have visited our YouTube channel, and they have come to this call because they have additional questions. They want to be certain of who we are, and if they should decide to become a part of Us Lifting Us, what it is that they are joining. And so primarily the format this evening and every week is going to accommodate some of the burning questions that you would naturally have about what you've seen at our website, what you may have heard from a friend or a comrade, and you just want to get the scoop and an answer from one of the board members of Us Lifting Us. In the way of a little history, Us Lifting Us got started as a study group and think tank in 2011. And five of us initially came together, and we were joined by others. And And we met face-to-face every week, and we did research. We brought in persons who had experience in co-ops. Some of them had extensive experience and travel to other countries to study co-ops as well. We consulted with attorneys, with accountants. And so in 2012, we were ready with a name, Us Lifting Us, Economic Development Cooperative. And we attempted to put in place the legal form in 2012 and discovered we used the wrong legal designation, and we changed it. And then in our current form, June of 2013, as a limited liability company. And so we didn't just get started in terms of the concept and putting the pieces together, but we're still new. And I like to say from time to time that we're still in diapers, indicating that this is not something that is fixed. However, a lot of planks have been laid, and there is a foundation here from which we can build, and not only build locally, but build globally. Brother Thurman, I think it's important, before we open up the line, just to lay some foundations. As hopefully all of you know, Us Lifting Us is a cooperative. It is a legal entity that is structured with one member, one vote, with elected leadership. There is no one business owner. Everyone who becomes a member and a partner in ULU is, in fact, an owner, or has the potential to be an owner in every sense of the word, including profit sharing. So we are a collective. We are a group-owned enterprise, a mutually owned enterprise, again, a cooperative. And the reason we formed as that designation is because we think from that foundation we can more predictably build power, economic power, and, of course, you want to have economic power and control so that you can have an influence over other aspects of the social life of our community. Now, we incorporate it in such a way that there is no limit to the number of members that we can have. We can have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and into the millions of members. And members are not just individuals. There are three categories of membership. Individuals can be members. Married couples can be member because they are a single tax entity. And then institutions can be members. Another LLC can be a member. A business association, or a C corp can be a member. An association, a church can be a member, as long as it's a legal entity. And again, there's no limit to the number of members we can have. And members do not have to be U.S. citizens. And so we have, as Brother Thurman has indicated, we have members in a few other countries as well. But legally, we can have members wherever there is interest in the world. And so with that formation, we are perched to be in position to harness and redirect some of the more than $1 trillion that flows through the hands of the African in America, let alone what flows through the hands of all Africans in the world. And the way it works, essentially, is that once a person decides to become a partner in ULU, a member, that person can also decide to acquire equity units in ULU and qualify for profit sharing. Now, what we do with the resources at our hands, the labor, the talent, the skills, the capital, we do one thing and one thing only, and that is we channel those resources to build and run for-profit businesses that are structured as co-ops and that we all own together and benefit from together. In time, Ulu will own hundreds and eventually thousands of businesses, small, medium, large, in the U.S. and in other parts of the world. And with those businesses, we are providing needed goods and services to our people. We're creating jobs, good-paying jobs, with benefits, and we're producing a surplus of what we would generally call a profit. And with the profits, we reward an additional benefit to the member workers in our businesses. We commit to charity, and then we obviously will reinvest, and we will also have a direct monetary benefit to our members who are qualified to receive profit sharing. We feel that with that formula and that infrastructure in place, we can grow Ulu into a large-scale, global business enterprise that changes the landscape in terms of African people doing business, again, locally and globally. Brother Thurman, let's switch gears, and maybe there's an area you think that we should highlight before we maybe even give a little clarity to one of the businesses that we're operating now, that is Cafe Ulu. But I didn't want to fly solo out there by myself, but for so long, so I'm bringing you back in. And I'm going to open up Brother Kimbizi's line as well, and another board member that I'm certain is on the line, or at least he was, and bring him back on the line and have him join us as well. Okay. Brother Thurman, any thoughts? Maybe you would reference some of the questions that prospective members and members generally would have.
Yeah. Well, when you were talking about the cooperative model and the businesses and that we would eventually have hundreds and even thousands of businesses, I would think that it would be sort of trying to think of how to word the question, that when it comes to, well, for one, family members, to be a member of Us Lifting Us, you need to apply for membership. It's not an automatic thing. You need to apply for membership. And we would take a good look at the membership and have some conversations with you. And when you are accepted as a member, the membership is $50 a year, $50 annually. And that's something that you must maintain and that keeps you in that active status, and it gives you rights to be able to vote, because all members are equal in terms of voting. All members only have one vote. All members have a say-so. And you also have the opportunity, beyond being a member, to purchase, and we urge all members to purchase a minimum of one investment unit, and that investment unit is $1,000. And that as membership entitles you to voting privileges, but the investment unit also puts you in the position so that when the as we build the number of businesses, when dividends are declared, that you would get to participate in that. And with what I just said about profits, dividends being declared to the eligible members, what I think would be beneficial for the members and new members and those that are given consideration to being a member is when you have a business like we have the business that just recently opened up, Cafe Ulu, that will be talked about tonight. How does it impact the profits, the dividends, when you mentioned earlier hundreds and even thousands of businesses, when you are a member and eligible for profits, dividends, is it limited to just one of the businesses, or is it all of those? And I mean, give us some input on that, and does it apply to every business?
Yeah, what we have put in place is a business formation that anyone, any member who acquires equity in the company, it's the whole company, not one business, not one business sector, not one location in a country, or not one location in the world. Membership in Ulu, all of us together, are what we call the primary cooperative. We are the parent, so to speak. We are the primary enterprise. And then each business and all of our businesses are what we call secondary cooperatives. They, again, are for-profit business enterprises that, first of all, provide a needed good or service. They create jobs, and they seek to return a surplus of what sometimes we would call a profit. And members own all of the businesses that we will ever create anywhere in the world. So our business portfolio, each of us, grows. And so none of us are attached to any one business. We are owners in everything that we ever do, wherever it is in the world, in whatever industry it is in the world. One of the things that we often speak on, and we don't want to miss it, is the culture that underpins what it is that we're doing. This is a group-owned enterprise, and it's different. It's not a hierarchical structure from the standpoint of decision making, nor a sharing in the surplus or profits. And I think I've opened up Brother Kimbiza's line, and I'd like to ask him to give us some grounding in terms of what we really mean when we say Ujamaa.
Brother Hakima, and good evening, Brother Thurman. Good to hear you.
Yes. Greetings.
I think the best way to come at your question, Baba Hakima, is to use Mwalimu Julius Nyerere's definition of Ujamaa. And he broke down the Swahili term to mean familyhood. And that really captures the quality and the kind of relationships we are putting together through Ulu as we connect with brothers and sisters across the country and around the globe. We do not see each other as potential money makers. We see each other as sisters and brothers who are doing economic work together or commerce to meet our individual and collective needs. So it's that familyhood idea that reflects or reveals the kind of business entities that Us Lifting Us is opening. So we come together, we pool our money, as Brother Thurman said, and we, once we have collected the money, then we say, well, you know, what businesses are needed in this particular community? And we set those businesses in motion. Again, Baba Hekima, to your point, these businesses are owned by all of us. So each business that we launch is a cooperative. And so we are all in the business together, and we're benefiting from the surplus that the business generates. But again, it goes back to the idea that in healthy families, we take care of each other's needs. And whatever those needs are, it's understood that because we are all family, no one is going to go lacking. No one is going to have 1,000 times of something and another member has only one or nothing. We are concerned with how these relationships come together and how we maintain them over time. That, I think, is the thing that is missing as we understand the way commerce and business is conducted in the United States under a capitalist system. It's hyper-individualism, it's extreme competition, it's profit for profit's sake, and maximum profit at all times. So even, for example, here in Atlanta, we have Sam's Clubs. Well, they shuttered them not because it wasn't making money, but because it wasn't making enough money or more money. So the way we understand how we're going to do our business is we are going to generate, first of all, we're going to provide the goods and services that are needed. Secondly, we're going to provide jobs because we're going to be the ones doing the work. And thirdly, when the surplus is declared, then that will be distributed back to the business to keep it going and then allow us to support schools and clinics and those kinds of institutions that our community so desperately needs. And then last but not least, declare a dividend or a return on the investment so that each member benefits personally from having pooled their money with us, lifting us. But to your question, Hekima, it goes back to family relationships that are driven by concern and equity and spirit and community, ultimately. We are not only reclaiming our community, we're taking community to higher and higher levels of performance and excellence. I hope I'm speaking to your question,
yes,
Bob.
Yes. And, of course, as you're explaining that, we value the existence of a group-owned cooperative sector in the business life of our local communities. We know that we have black-owned businesses. We have a driving impulse in terms of entrepreneurship. So brothers and sisters are starting things, businesses, new businesses all the time, and that's a good thing. So we need black-owned businesses. We need to support them. But we are also saying that we would be much better off. And from a power position, we could do some creative things if we also had a mutually owned, cooperatively owned business sector that could grow large scale in our communities. And so Us Lifting Us is coming into our communities for the most part with a new paradigm. And I dare say that as I discuss with brothers and sisters, when they think of a large-scale cooperative, it's kind of novel to them. They have never considered it before. But we feel that our current model with, even though when we're successful, with black-owned businesses, essentially everyone doing their own thing, essentially disconnected, then there is not the opportunity for the kind of coordination, for planning that's necessary to really build an economy. And ultimately, we don't just want to participate in business. We want to build an economy that's controlled by us, and we'd want to grow that such that it's not just a local economy. It's a global economy. Brother Thurman, as you indicated earlier, this is a platform for those brothers and sisters who have gone to our website, turned it upside down, and saw what shook out. But then they have additional questions. What's the number that they can call in and get on the call-in side? And for those brothers and sisters who are already there, tell them what to do to let us know that they want to come into the conversation.
Yes, the telephone number for the call tonight is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And you press 1, and that would put you in the queue to be recognized that you'd like to ask a question or a comment.
Okay. So as we continue, for those of us who've been on our website and gone through our 17-minute presentation, you might know that our primary business model is the Us Lifting Us Market and Exchange, or ULUMARC for short. We envision owning and operating several large, I guess you would call them malls, big box stores that have been separated into many components, farmers market, thrift, a very aggressive and elaborate consignment component, weekly auction, commercial cannery, commercial coffee roasting, coffee shop and networking lounge, movie theater / event halls, several of those, office space for rent, a health spa, but most of the space would be taken up with specialty stores that members in the community would rent and would operate their independently owned businesses from. There would be smaller kiosks or booths or tabletops. This would be a multi-use complex, not only commerce, but entertainment, education, business incubation, and this would be an anchor institution in the community that spoke to the community's desire to gain greater and greater control of the commercial activity in their community. We made a decision to reach into that bigger model and pull out one of the components that we could start right now with the resources we already had in hand. And so a little over 2 months ago, we opened Cafe ULU. And again, already in the big model was, and you could see it in the drawings, there was always the plan to, in the larger complex, to have a coffee shop and networking lounge. So we pulled that one out and started it, and the birth of Cafe ULU. And Cafe ULU has its own website, cafeulu.com. We're here in Atlanta, 2036 Sylvan Road, and I'm certain that some of the brothers and sisters who are listening to us via internet or have called into the conference call side have visited Cafe Ulu and have enjoyed the offering, both the atmosphere, the coffee from our brothers and sisters, whether from the Cameroons, from Ethiopia, from Tanzania, Kenya, and there may be other locations that we featured as well. Brother Thurman or Brother Kimbizi, what are, in your experience, the burning questions that brothers and sisters that you run into really need answered as they contemplate making a decision about joining us, lifting us? Either one.
Brother Thurman, you want...
go ahead, Brother Kimbizi.
Well, I think because we, so many of us, have grown up in capitalist systems, it takes us a minute to shift gears and understand the difference of a cooperative enterprise. Most importantly for us, though, is the idea, the understanding that we can build whatever we choose to build, but we have to pool our money to do it. In other words, I heard a minister say some years ago, we're not going to ride to freedom in Pharaoh's chariot. So the idea is that, yes, there's a $50 membership fee, but in order for us to do commerce, we are going to have to each purchase a co-op unit at $1,000. Now, we're on the planet with everybody else. We know many people don't just have $1,000 in their pillowcase. But we do understand that $1.3 trillion passes through black hands on an annual basis. So while we may not have $1,000 tucked away in our pillowcase, we know how to put our hands on some money when we need to. And what we're encouraging our people to do is to get on a monthly plan where you put aside $100 or $50 and work your way up to the $1,000 co-op unit and then purchase it. When we've said that when 1,000 people purchase 1,000 co-op units, that's the equivalent of $1 million. And when we think about the thousands and tens of thousands of our people in every city, that's multiple millions of dollars available to us to build and launch and to operate the various businesses that we need to sustain our communities. I shudder at the thought that in some cities, the national chain grocery stores pulled out for whatever reason. And the only thing left to service those communities were these smaller corner store operations that sold mostly chips and dips and didn't have a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables to offer. So we know that we have some very pressing needs for primary services. That's what we have to put ourselves in the position to provide for ourselves. And again, this is not rocket science. It's not something that we got to go to school 4, 6, 10 years to figure out. We know exactly what it is that we have to build. And the good news is that we have the resources at our fingertips. The question is, do we have the political will to make the decision to do for self? And so the question that's always in the back of my mind is, what's holding us back from building these social and community institutions that we need? I think, if nothing else, as we watch the country unravel and the circus that's going on in Washington, D.C., we realize that this has real-world live consequences. And so the clock is ticking. We
oh,
need
sure.
to be building these institutions like yesterday, and we need to do it with a quickness.
But picking up on the question you asked, what's holding us back, I submit that there's nothing holding us back. I think if there's any hindrance, is that the few of us may have not put solidly in place the structure, the platform, the institution for us doing what it is that we must do. And, of course, we have realized success in Ulu because we have put in place an infrastructure from which we can continue to build. And over the coming months and years, we will be energizing communities and our families and friends and campaigning for greater and greater involvement. And so it's just a matter. I think our experience has been that the few people who know about Ulu like it, and a good percentage of them join. Our struggle now is to, from a media perspective, is to get the word out. And this call every Thursday is one of those tools. And what I'd like to do, have we had anyone to seek to get in that have not already been in? I see that maybe this is a – well, no, that's already open, line open. But let's talk about this call and how the people, the persons on this call, members and friends, can help promote Ulu and help us move this process even faster. All of you have persons that you know. What we're asking you to do is reach out to your comrades. Ask them if they're familiar with Ulu, with Us Lifting Us. If they have not already taken a look or they're willing to take another look, ask them to visit our website, usliftingus.com. And when they get there, of course, they'll see our 10-point appeal and plan. But encourage them to go to the home page and play the 17-minute video that's there. And maybe you will get back with them and parlay with them and talk about what it is that they saw. But invite them to come to this call next Thursday or the next Thursday that you're available to come with them. And have them to chime in and be ready to ask questions that they may have. And so what we want to do now is begin to generate energy, a focused energy of those of us who come onto the call doing the work of between now and next Thursday, bringing one or two other persons on the call with you next week. And just keep that cycle going so that in addition to this and some of the other things that we have, then we are deliberately exposing more and more and more of our people to this broadcast and to what's on the website. Of course, we're only able to skim over information on this call weekly. And we've structured the call right now for just an hour. We can take it longer if we choose to. But, again, we're asking each of you to, you may want to make a list first, reach out to your family and friends, your comrades, ask them to go to our website, and then we'll use this broadcast on a weekly basis to for people to give feedback and to ask questions. And I'll just say, and Thurman often says, you know, we grow from questions. And the more questions we have, quite frankly, the better. And so that's just part of the instructions for all of us for next week. Do we want to talk a little bit more about Cafe Ulu?
Yes. Did you want to try to take a call?
Yes. What are the last four numbers of the? Oh, did anyone press one on their keypad and let us know that they wanted in?
I don't think so, but we can ask if area code 44. You on the line? Would you like to question or comment? Area code 443.
Well, they would have to press one on their keypad if they wanted to discuss. So anyone who's on the call, if you want to have an opportunity to ask a question or have some feedback, press one on your keypad. And Brother Thurman will be looking to see if that's done. Cafe Ulu, and again, the website for Cafe Ulu is just that, cafeulu.com. And I would invite all of us to go to the site, look at the pages, but in particular, visit the Facebook page and play some of the videos and get a sense of what's going on at Cafe Ulu. Now, there's nothing stopping us from having hundreds of Cafe Ulus. And for those of you who are in cities and you have other fellow Ulu members in those cities, we want you to get busy organizing yourself as a base collective and begin to prepare to have a Cafe Ulu come to your city. We're not that many months away from being in a position to incubate a second Cafe Ulu. And who knows, we may even be in a position to incubate more than just one. And but the idea is that when one gets into profit, that the surplus from that, along with new members joining and old members and new members acquiring equity unit, it gives us the capital to expand. And that's the idea. And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, we're not just wedded to coffee. Coffee just where we're starting. But we'll have businesses in other sectors as well.
You know, Brother,
go ahead.
I was going to say, while we're certainly not wedded to coffee, I think many of us were pleasantly surprised when you shared with us that coffee is the second highest traded commodity in the world, only surpassed by oil. Did you flesh that out a little bit? I think we don't realize how important us doing coffee is.
Yeah. I think one year in the last 10 years or so, because of an economic turndown and when oil was in crisis, that was one year where coffee was the most traded commodity in the world. But generally, it's outpaced by oil. And, of course, we say that coffee is a black thing, the original plant is an Ethiopian plant. And from Ethiopia, then, of course, coffee spread throughout the world. We were blessed at our opening on the 17th of last month with two sisters from Ethiopia. And they are part of an Ethiopian restaurant on our side of the town. Do either one of you remember the name of the restaurant? I'd like to plug it.
I don't.
Well, I don't remember either. But they came and blessed us with the Ethiopian coffee sipping ceremony. They sat on the floor with charcoals and open pots and roasting coffee. You could hear it cracking. Of course, many of us have never been around coffee. When it's roasted, it cracks. And the aroma, they actually picked up the pans and ran around the room and made sure that we smelled the coffee. And they didn't just roast one time and brew one time. They continued to roast and brew and put the coffee in small cups and ceremoniously gave us all a taste of the very fine coffee. But that coffee sipping ceremony is ancient. And I'm told that the tea sipping ceremony in the Far East is a derivative of that ceremony as our people began to migrate and ran out of a supply of coffee. They simply picked up the tea. But you can purchase Ethiopian coffee sipping ceremonial paraphernalia, and I would hope that at some point we'll have it there in Cafe Ulu. But that was a beautiful ceremony and display of coffee in our people's culture. And after that demonstration, then we had a brother and sister from the Cameroon, who also spoke about coffee and coffee's place in Cameroon. And so, yes, coffee is the second most traded commodity in the world, but an important additional point that's important is that the base of that industry, but they've been exploited. The world coffee prices are depressed, and so when our brothers and sisters bring the coffee to market, even in a fair trade environment, they're really not getting what it's worth. And as Ulu grows and expands, we will be in a position to reward some of our brothers and sisters who grow coffee because they can become members of Ulu and share in the profits that are derived from people buying cups of coffee. In other words, we will at a point be in the import business buying coffee, and in some cases those brothers and sisters that we buy the coffee from will be Ulu members and owners. And the scenario that we want to create, not just in coffee but in other areas, is that our brothers and sisters globally who are part of this business enterprise can not only profit by providing a product, good, or service to Ulu, but that they can profit on the backside when those commodities or products, goods, and services are exchanged for dollars and we're into a surplus situation or profit situation where they can profit on the back end as well.
You just painted a picture of how we are creating an economy by linking these different cooperative businesses into a network. And I think that's one of the points that we strive to make each week on this call, that we're, in addition to opening businesses, our larger goal is to create an economy that is collectively controlled and owned by our people.
Ashe.
And I'd like to add, brother, that speaking about Cafe Ulu, Cafe Ulu is, just in case you didn't hear it, has coffee, but they're also a coffee roaster, and you can buy the ground coffee beans or the whole beans, and we have various coffees available. I believe it's by the pound. Is that right, Baba Hakima?
I'm not sure of the weight of the bag. Now, we're not a roaster just yet. We anticipate becoming a roaster, but we're not purchasing the green beans just yet. But that's within our wheelhouse. But we do sell coffee from our website, so brothers and sisters, you can participate in the success of Ulu by going to Cafe Ulu's website and purchasing coffee from our website. And you'll see not just one selection. You'll see multiple selection from multiple countries, African countries in the world.
Yeah, and it's a 12-ounce bag.
12-ounce bag? Okay.
Yeah. And also, go ahead. Yeah, also like to say quickly that Cafe Ulu is on Facebook. On Facebook, you would get to see some pieces of that Ethiopian coffee ceremony, and you also get some other insights about Cafe Ulu and find out that there's a variety of activities, including the annual members meeting of this past March the 17th, and there's just a lot of energy because Cafe Ulu has Wi-Fi, and they have ongoing what they call Conversation Corner events that would involve children and poetry, financial lectures, and lectures that's pertinent to our community. And so make sure that you take a look at Cafe Ulu on Facebook so that you can find out how the business is working. And also you find out that it is definitely a warm atmosphere because the member workers, owners that are there, they definitely enjoy the atmosphere and all of our members that come by as well as people that are in the neighborhood. It's a very good place that you can take a look at on the Facebook page.
Shay, and soon we will also have Ulu in the Conversation Corner. Ulu 101, the basics. And maybe they're already posted on the Facebook page. So I know we're on the calendars to discuss Ulu face-to-face with the public at Cafe Ulu. We've got about 2 minutes left, and let's round this off and let's be clear what we're offering. We're offering a different approach to commerce and business. And we think that this approach gives us a solid track to run on as we desire to control more and more of the commercial activity, business activity in our own community. With the Ulu platform, churches can be members, fraternities can be members, associations can be members, and some of them already are. So we can include a lot of the elements in the community, pool our resources, and create jobs as we are building these businesses. And from the success of those businesses, support the nonprofit sector through charity and endowment. And essentially, we come to this work very committed to strengthening the infrastructure of, and I guess it's really summed up best with what Brother Thurman talked about earlier when he talked about our mission. And our mission is to build and maintain the machinery of economic self-determination for our people. It's not that we just want to be economically empowered, economically self-determined, but our job is to build the machinery and build it in such a way that we can pass it to future generations. I jokingly sometimes talk about a song that some of our old heads remember that the Temptations sang. Papa was a rolling stone, and all he ever left us was alone. We have to ask each other, ourselves, the question, what are we leaving? You know, Yes, we have to march. Yes, we have to picket. Yes, we have to boycott. Yes, we have to give our dollars some sense in terms of where we shop. But what are the institutions? What are the systems that will outlive us that we're actively building today? And that is the work of ULU, is to put the machinery of economic self-determination in place so that it meets our current needs, but it's also permanently in place as a tool of continued power building on behalf of our people and future generations. Brother Kimbizi, we have less than a minute, and if you would just give us some closing thoughts.
I was thinking about it this week, Baba Hekima, that there's so much focus on money. But the truth of the matter is the dollars, that paper, really represents the labor of people. And the actual wealth in the world is people, their genius, their creativity, their spirit. We are extremely wealthy. Our challenge and our work through ULU is to harness our own genius and benefit from that together. We are the money. And it's being stolen, and somebody else's picture is on the bill. But the hidden truth about all of this is that black folks, African folks, are the actual wealth on this planet. And we are harnessing our own wealth to finally benefit ourselves and our children. And so we're grateful for ULU and for the conversation tonight, Baba Hekima, Brother Thurman, for helping us focus and tune in to a very brilliant and bright future as we move together to put together the machinery and begin to harness our wealth and use it for the growth of our children and generations to come.
Thank you, brother. And thank you, family, for being with us. And we invite you to join us next Thursday, 9 p.m. Central. Good night, family.
Good night, brother. Peace.
Peace.